Monogamish contains content intended for mature audiences. The views expressed here are for entertainment purposes only. Please enjoy the show.
But that's also because we're getting very close and intimate. So when we're having a two-man-on-woman threesome, and you reach around her and you grab his ass accidentally because you're not watching, you're probably making out with her, you know, whatever. And all of a sudden, the guy's like, stops. I'm sorry, dude. I touched your ass. And I'm like, I'm in the moment. I'm having a good time. I don't care. Touch my ass. Mm-hmm.
Hi, Ishes. Welcome back to another episode of Season 3. I'm Justina.
And I'm Kenji.
And we're monogamish.
We're starting something a little new today. We wanted to actually talk to you from after recording our guests.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's pretty late. We're still here. Oh, yeah. The party still goes on. The party never stops with the Fullwoods.
You know that. Yeah. We're up all night.
I know.
There's always something going on at the Ish Tank.
As our bestie says... if the party isn't still going after midnight, it's not a party for us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But here
or
we are.
They also say, are you bitches sleeping?
No. Right? No, not bedtime.
It ain't bedtime. What are you doing?
So we actually talked to Chris and Lisa today.
Yes,
and that was a really
awesome.
Fascinating.
Oh my gosh.
Yes,
conversation.
Great. And can I tell you, I loved his shirt. And he brought his pineapple with him.
Oh my God. You're going to see this and you're going to lose it. I swear to God.
Dude, if they had a whole outfit of that, I'd be on it.
It would be part of his summer attire.
Yes. I want one.
I was like,
so
he just
bad.
Needed yellow shorts. Dude. And it would have been perfect.
Oh my God.
Spread
so
love.
Side note.
Okay. What's the news?
We have been blowing up. Thank you guys.
Absolutely.
It's weird for us to be like at parties or at events and just have people come up to us and like automatically think they know us because they know our show. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. they want to hug us. And oh my God, I've known you and I followed you from season one. Shout out to JJ. Mm-hmm. So we crashed a party. Yep, we crashed a party this weekend.
Eesh.
The Summit
House. Definitely didn't mean to.
It was a last minute decision that actually turned out to be a blast.
So you guys went on December 4th.
Yes.
Okay.
So we crashed their Winter Wonderland party.
I was wanting to go to that.
I know. And intentionally, we were going to try to go, or initially, we were going to try to go, but earlier. Our intent was to get there much early.
Oh, my God. Our intent was to get there way earlier than that. But for some fucking reason, we could not advance past, 20 minutes out.
Oh, wow.
Before we had to make that hour drive out there.
Yeah. Out in Watkins?
I believe so.
You know, we flew up there. We the car drove itself and it was fine. It worked.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a long drive. Mm. It's a long ass drive. Mm-hmm. But we got all the way out there, crashed their party, and Ken and Danielle, we had a blast for the couple hours that we spent out there partying.
They're
going to
be
on our show.
Future show.
Yes.
I know. And they get to talk about all their cool stuff and their awesome place. Oh, my gosh.
So that was at the Summit House out in Watkins. You can find their parties on Cassidy, cassidy.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And it's great to hear people, all the feedback coming from our listeners because we don't get to talk to you very often. So that's going to change.
Hopefully.
Yes.
Talk to me, damn it.
Send us stuff.
Yep.
Whatever you guys want to hear.
Or more
people that want to be on the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Right, because we have so much great stuff coming up. So we're getting ready to launch a club, and I'm so excited.
Quite a few months.
Yep.
It's a few months away. It's a few months away.
But we're very excited. We're going to have lots of events going on there.
Lots
so
of events.
Mm-hmm. Definitely
lots
some
of,
meet and greets.
Lots of play parties.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Also some flash, dating, swingers.
Oh, yes.
Like speed dating swingers edition.
Which, shout out to AJ for giving us that idea.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh yes. Yes.
The amount of support that we have for people that, for our show, whether it's I tell all my friends about you or I've sent people your way to come be on the show or things like that is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Thanks to all those supporters out there.
All you ishes.
All you ishes.
All you ishes.
Mm-hmm.
Love is real. And it's so much fun doing this.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's been a blast.
I know. For a while.
It has. Mm-hmm. And the season is just getting better.
Oh, every time, every episode.
I know. We have a sex therapist that's going to be coming on this season.
That's going to be fun.
We have a lot of professionals coming through, but we also have a lot of couples, and we want to hear your stories. So reach out to us.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a lot of sex workers coming our way, too, just because I'm very fascinated how they navigate all that and how they essentially make a living having fun.
Right.
Right? I am too.
They make a fucking living.
Yes, they do.
Yes. Yes.
Literal.
I've always been like interested in like how do you navigate that whole,
right?
You know, mm-hmm. with you know, I mean, legal income and you know taxes and all that.
It's all cash.
I know. That's what I mean. It's so whatever.
It's all cash and Cash App.
And speaking of Cash App,
oh my God!
Yes.
Right.
We have our own Cash App peeps.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
So, Ishes, if you want to support us, because we've gotten a lot of questions on how you can support us,
mm-hmm.
go to our Cash App. Is that a little dollar sign? Monogamish Pod with no
all
dash.
One word.
All yeah. one word. Monogamish Pod. You can make a one-time donation there through our Cash App.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want to make a continuing donation, you can go to
Patreon.
Patreon.
Yes. So come to our Patreon and you'll be getting some new exclusive content. We got a new segment that's actually going to be coming up fairly soon. I think it's going to be worth the price of admission. More than worth it.
More than worth
that, and you'll get exclusive invites to our events.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You can come to our pre-parties.
Oh, man.
And you'll be able to be the first ones that know when we're going to have something going on. So check us out.
Yeah.
In the know.
All right. This is why we don't bring him in front of the camera. All right, check us out, Ishes. You know where to find us, monogamishpodcast.com.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget, there's a dash between the M and the I.
There you go.
And if you want to be on our show, hit up Drew.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Please.
Please reach out to me at drew@monogamishpodcast.com. Yes, it is a mouthful. It is a lot to type in, but I guarantee you it's worth it.
Well, Ishes, we're excited for the show coming up, so make mm-hmm. sure you pull out your popcorn and your drinks and listen to our next episode.
Now, introducing Chris and Lisa.
How are you guys today?
We're doing great.
Wonderful.
We got a new couple.
I know. Chris, Lisa, we've never met you guys before.
Nope,
this is our first time meeting today, first time talking. So
exactly.
Thank you guys for coming on our show.
Oh, no
Chris,
problem.
You couldn't have a better costume.
Right?
He's always in costume.
Right?
Right?
Yeah. I don't know if the camera can see this, but it is pineapples, which is the official fruit of the lifestyle.
Oh, yeah. Love it. Yep. Give me them every day.
With a company.
Yeah.
Exactly. I talk about carrying your flags everywhere you go so that your people can find you.
Yes.
So even when we're on vacation, like this and this are my go-tos everywhere I go. And when we're in Cancun or when we're walking around in LA, someone's always going to come up and go, "Hey, dude, is that a pineapple?" I'm like, "Yeah, man.
Yes.
It's awesome, isn't it? Do you know the meaning of the pineapple?" And if they're like, "No, what?" You're like, "Oh, yeah, it's the symbol of hospitality. It means that I'm super friendly and you can come talk to me, and that's cool." And everybody else who's like, "Oh, yeah, for sure. I know
for
what
sure.
it means."
For
I'm
sure.
Like, maybe we'll go grab drinks later.
Huh. Like your definition.
Mm-hmm.
You also have the black ring.
Yes.
That's the other,
mm-hmm.
the other symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's.
Do you have one too?
I do.
I didn't wear any flags.
Today.
I forget it too. I forget it all the time.
I have my black ring and my Infinity bracelet on my Kick profile.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So, you know. But I'm just more forgetful about dressing up.
No worries. Or stuff like this. Little
right.
accessories.
See, I wear mine every day. And everywhere I go, whether I'm at work or if I'm going to hang out with friends, where she doesn't wear it at work as much, so she doesn't have it on her all the time. And sometimes she forgets to put it on.
It happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Usually people can spot us even if we don't have flags on, though. We're just
mm-hmm.
friendlier. We're just
yes.
more open to conversation. We smile more,
yeah.
I feel
yeah.
like.
Mm. Oh, absolutely.
Maybe I'm
more
definitely
open.
Interested beyond talking to new people on a regular basis, beyond that initial surface conversation that happens because you're just feeling them out, seeing who they are, what they like. Are they your people? Are they not your people?
Right.
And it also seems to make us much more social people.
Oh, yeah.
Compared
oh, yeah.
to the rest
mm-hmm.
of the world,
for
I think.
Sure.
Yeah.
So tell us, you guys are married.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And for how long?
For 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Same
and up. You've been in the lifestyle, you said, pretty much immediately once you
almost
got married?
Immediately. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A soft start.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you did you date long before you got married then?
We super long.
Knew each other for about a year.
Okay.
But we were dating other people at the time. So we never really interacted in any meaningful way because we were monogamous at the first.
Oh, yeah.
When we first met each other. And eventually, so at the time, my job was at career services at a college. And I taught my college students how to go out and make friends and make connections with people because 80% of all the jobs that we have in our lives were given to us by someone we know, suggested to us by somebody we know, or they put in a good word for us. And so increasing your circle of influence increases your chance of finding a job. She had just moved to Canada for our job.
Okay.
So I work in construction.
Okay.
It can move you around a lot. Yeah. Well, let me clarify. Construction management.
Okay. Yeah.
they lift you up to put the light bulbs in.
Yeah. Actually, so segue, but women make great electricians and apparently sometimes better heavy machine and crane operators just because,
really?
Like...
'Cause we're better drivers.
I mean, I didn't want to say so.
I'm gonna bite my tongue.
Crickets.
But so, if y'all remember, 2008 happened. The downturn in construction followed after, and so there was just a lot more opportunity in Canada. Went up there for a project and. I just sort of made that decision that I wasn't going to act like a visitor. Like, I was just here for the project, going back to my hotel room, not engaging in the place I was at. I was like, well, if I'm going here, I'm going here. I'm going to put down roots, meet people.
Yes.
Awesome. So, you know, made the effort to get out there and meet people and kept running into this really cool guy.
Everywhere?
Everywhere.
Seems like he's the man on town.
Yeah.
So just to take a half a step back, you guys were both fully monogamous, had never tried anything like this prior to meeting
right.
each other.
Well.
Okay. For me, fully monogamous.
Okay.
So I had dated a guy for quite a while before I left, and we had tried a threesome once, just like with a mutual friend who was interested in trying that out. And it was like most things where you try that stuff for the first time, a little bit awkward, all of that stuff. But like nobody's feelings got hurt or anything. So yeah, it was a fun experience that we didn't really pursue any further.
Okay, so threesome, two males or two females?
Two females.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She knew pretty much from high school that she was attracted to women.
Okay.
A lot of her friends are actually, where when she came out as bi to a lot of her high school girlfriends, she was like, well, you're not gay. She's like, no, I'm bi. They're like, but you're not gay.
Yeah, it was a funny conversation. Yeah.
No, I'm bi. I like both women and men. Like, yeah.
Right. And actually, that conversation made me reflect a lot. Like, well, why didn't I express any of this in my younger years? And a lot of it is just very much environment. I'm a big chameleon. I'm with whoever I'm around. And part of that was that it just wasn't normal for women to be gay, bisexual, nor men at the time. Mm-hmm. And since I had the choice, because I like both, I was like, well, there's all these guys I'm attracted to. And also, I very much thrive off of feedback.
Okay.
So if I'm like flirting with someone just a little and I'm getting nothing back, I'm not attracted to that person.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that's a hard one, too, because being bisexual, period, it's for male or female. It's almost like you have to have a 50-50, and that's not always the way that it works out. Like, I'm not always equally attracted to women as I am to men, but that doesn't mean that I'm not attracted to women.
Yeah.
It's just that, just like with men, there's a certain sect of women that I'm attracted to.
Right.
Yeah.
Lisa's probably 90-10, because when we were in the lifestyle, she didn't have another male partner until we moved here to Denver. So that is only within the last 3 years of our seven that she started seeing male partners.
Okay.
Whereas previously it was female partners, or they were mostly my partners that she played with, you know, so.
Or group situations.
Group situations, yeah, too. Yeah. That too.
So how do you guys, like, define your relationship? How do you guys do this? Do you do it together? Do you have an open relationship?
Currently, right now, we are open. Okay. Demisexuals.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So she is about 90%, 100% demisexual.
Pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas I am 85, 75 demi. For me, if you're an 8, 9, or 10 on my scale, I'll one-night stand you. If you tell me that you're going to
quit it,
I'll be like, all right, I'm okay with that.
For every rule, there is an exception.
Right?
There's what we call the vacation exception.
Yes, we have the vacation exception.
The vacation exceptions are the best.
Yeah.
Those were the main way that we were able to play when we first started, because you have kids at home.
Right.
And so the amount of money that we spend on hotels is obscene because we have kids at home. Mm-hmm. And so if we're going to be spending money on a hotel, then we might as well be spending money in a hotel not up the street from our house.
Right.
So vacation play is our favorite.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, to clarify, I said it as rules as a shortcut. I think one of the big things for us is not really having a lot of rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if we're going down to the fundamentals, which, why not? It's not putting rules on each other, loving each other for who we are. So it's not really, none of those are real rules. It's just preferences.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Keep it simple, stupid.
Right.
That's
right.
What my best friend always says, like, when you overcomplicate it, it's, am I doing this right? Am I doing that right?
Right.
It's a stress. It becoming, you know, it's anxiety inducing. And so when you just know that, okay, we don't have a lot of rules, but we're going to check in with each other and make sure we're both on the same page as things come up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we like to make sure that we're checking in on each other and having like a sit down. Have we grown recently? Has anything changed recently? Are we considering doing something out of what we had been doing previously?
Right.
So that we check in on each other and see, like, when we became open from swingers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started talking to her about, I have this girlfriend that I'm seeing on a regular basis, and she's talking about how she's thinking of leaving me because I'm married and she can't have me as a partner that she can.
A primary.
Mm-hmm. For her, it wasn't really primary because unfortunately I'm married, so it's always going to be 50-50, you know, but, she was like, I got nobody who can spend the night with me. You know, I can't call them when I'm having a bad day. And I was like, well, I'm not a fair weather friend. So I'm going to be there whenever you need me, whether you're having a shitty day or not. I want to be there for you. And then we had a conversation about, do we have a problem with having full relationships with other people? And we both sat down and we thought about it. And we came back and was like, you know what? Why not? Let's see what happens.
So you guys are also kind of poly.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. We've always said, even when we were swingers, because we're demisexual, we're closer to the poly end of the spectrum than we are to the swinger end of the spectrum.
Okay.
Because we like to get to know people, and we want our friends to be people that we play with, and we want to have return customers, as I call them.
Well, because it's funner the second time around.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, it really is. Like, when you're a little bit more comfortable with each other and you've already gotten through that awkward phase.
Exactly.
They sound a lot like Trish and I, don't they?
Yeah. And then when you get to a point where they're exploring new things because you like it, not because they like it, that's a whole new world of understanding that they're doing something for you.
Right.
Versus someone that you only see once in a while, and you got to make sure that you're up to snuff on their table because, you know, you got to show up. Whereas they, when it gets to a point where they can do something just for you, that takes all that whole need to perform off of it. You can just enjoy yourself.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But in your guys' polyamorous relationship, you would still consider each other your primaries.
Yeah. So one of the misconceptions that kind of bugs me about, I guess you'd call it hierarchical polyamory, is this notion that, like, you're not really going to treat the other people with respect. You know, like, the characterization is like, oh, well, if you're, you know, if your other person is in the hospital and your primary is like, you can't go see them because I had a bad day, then you're going to do whatever your primary wants just on a whim.
Right.
And then we're like, that's not something I would do to a human being, let alone a partner who I love.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we give consideration to everybody in our world. Yes, we're nesting partners. Yes, we have been together for 7 years. Yes, I know that if I suffer from depression, so if I'm in one of my deep, dark holes, she's not going to leave me for it.
Right.
Whereas these other girls that I bring on that start relationships with who don't really understand me, I try to have these conversations of, just so you know, sometimes I disappear because I can't pick up the phone because the phone is just takes too much energy and I just want to do something else. So in those days, I need you to reach out to me. I want to know that you're thinking of me. I want to know that I'm not disappearing from your life because I stopped calling you.
Got it.
That is. And that starts my, and that also contributes to a, I'm working, I see therapists. So, I mean, just because I talk about this stuff, it's just because I'm okay with making sure that, you know, this is who I am. This is where I am. I'm growing from here, but so you know where I'm coming from, you know?
Right.
And I've totally lost my train of thought now.
If I can interject for just a second, people don't get it misconstrued that because we're all in the lifestyle or we're confident within our relationships doesn't mean that we don't have issues within our relationship with ourselves or our relationship with our partners. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not always butterflies and rainbows.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember where we're going. We're talking about our dynamic is everybody has a consideration.
Right.
And there's priorities. Like, their birthday only comes once a year. If Lisa has a bad day at work, birthdays only come one day a year. I'm going to show up at the birthday.
It doesn't take away from the love that you have for your wife.
Right. Yeah. And she knows how to deal with her own stuff. Maybe she calls one of her other boyfriends, or right now in this current situation where we're at, I have no side girlfriends.
Don't worry though, because this is a fact.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It is much easier in the lifestyle for women.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We could have 10 boyfriends, and whereas it's like 10
day.
To 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
You could have a new a date every day of the month.
If she wanted to. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And not have a problem with, you know, a different person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because it's woman run, as it should be. The lifestyle is woman run.
So I could go on all day about like the gender disparities, but yeah, it does sort of accentuate that, right? Because that's born out of necessity.
Mm-hmm.
It's fortunate that it's women run. It's unfortunate why that has to happen, right? Because it goes back to the situations where people aren't so cool about consent and all that stuff. In an ideal world, I would love us to be all equal and not having to have the like, women are above men and get into the parties for cheaper. And all great for me, but it's an indicator of something's not quite right.
We also found in our experiences that bi women are the majority of women, but straight men are the majority of men.
Agreed.
And
the swinger community.
Yes, in the lifestyle. Oh, yes. Within the lifestyle. And I have seen more homophobia in the lifestyle than I have seen anywhere else in my life.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also because we're getting very close and intimate. So when we're having a two-man-on-woman threesome and you reach around her and you grab his ass accidentally because you're not watching, you're probably making out with her, you know, whatever. And all of a sudden the guy's like, stops. I'm sorry, dude. I touched your ass. And I'm like, I'm in the moment. I'm having a good time. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're all people having a wonderful time here.
Right.
At the end of the day. As long as you're not accidentally inserting anything, I think we're good.
Yeah. We are all right. We are all right.
Uh-huh.
And if you were, we should have talked about this before.
Yeah.
And
that was not consent that was given, sir.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, but honestly, I hear what you're saying in terms of the disparity in terms of pricing in a lot of these clubs and things like that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I think what it boils down to is behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And the creep factor.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, so, it's all born because there are creeps. Well, that's right. Yeah. Not great. I don't know if there's a solution short term, maybe long term.
Well, right. So right. I was working with Eros as one of their committee for a while. Nice. You guys did an interview with them.
Right. Yeah.
When we got together as a group, we started talking about how do we work on that? Right. And one of the things was that we, one, want to make sure that everybody that joins has been vouched for or invited by someone within the group already. Oh, yeah. So they're putting their reputation on somebody else.
Absolutely, which is, as it should be.
Which is kind of the way it happens in our virtual worlds, too. Like with Cassidy, you have to be, what is it?
Verified.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so somebody has to say, yeah, I've met them in real life. This is really who they say they are.
Mm-hmm.
You're safe to talk to them.
And then we had like a three strike system. So if you came out to events and you upset someone, and it had to be different couples, because if you upset someone and then all they do is complain about you, that doesn't count. That's just one strike against you. One person doesn't like you. But if you kept coming to events and people regularly didn't like you being there because your consent was violated all the time, or you were creepy, or you made things awkward, then you could be removed. And then people who were inviting people that were constantly getting removed, they also had a three strike system where they were removed.
I like it. Well, and it's hard. You know, it's one of those things where, like, in the process of looking at the new club, we're talking about a committee.
Right.
Because we want it to be fair. Just because I personally have an issue with you doesn't mean you should be able to join my private club.
Exactly.
But if there is, if as a community we're finding that they're, you know, we're constantly getting those same complaints.
I'm not the only person that thinks there's a problem.
Right. Then it needs to be addressed right away.
Absolutely.
We should be policing ourselves as a community.
Right.
And honestly, thank you. We usually do a pretty damn good job at it.
Right.
Like, if you look at the ranch, you guys, you guys are members.
Yeah, we're gold members at the ranch. Home away from home.
Now, let me say, it used to be better at the ranch. Like, years ago when we very first started going there, it was a lot more of just your routine. You'd have a trickle in of new people every once in a while. But post-COVID, people are like, wow, this sex thing is pretty fucking cool.
Or just, it's the only place
we need
open.
All this touch that we've been starved for a year.
And so it's been a huge influx of brand new people, which we love.
Right.
That's why we're doing the show. You know, we want to grow the community. We want it to be healthy. We want people to understand that there's alternate relationship styles out there. But what ends up happening when you have a whole bunch of new people that don't know the rules.
You got to teach them some lessons that they don't know.
Right.
You get a shitty place.
So I'm always a teacher, always a student. So I'm always trying to bring somebody in and just teach them the ways and lead them along the path. Lisa doesn't have the patience for that all the time. But
I'm not with you, newbie.
She's like,
I need a vet.
There's a lot of red flags here. We need to just walk away. And I'm like, no. We can teach the red flags away.
I don't know about that.
As
long as
they have the right behavior to you can't fundamentally change who a person is.
Like, that's true, right?
After about the age of 14, you are who you are. You change a little bit, but for the most part, if you're going to be somebody that's okay with violating consent once, it's usually a repeat behavior.
I do want to point out that violating consent sometimes is not a personality thing, but an education thing.
Agreed.
And the problem is that the vanilla people have an idea of what is pre-consent. The non-verbal, I've done this many times before, most people don't have a problem with it. I can do it to this stranger that I don't know.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And so a lot of the times, and I don't say this is, again, not a three-strike system. This is a two-strike. You tell them you did something wrong. The second time they do it, you're like, I told you this already. You change or you're gone.
Right.
Like, you, not unlimited patience.
Right.
Always give them a chance to learn. It's just like being able to say no while you're having sex because they maybe have crossed a boundary that you have in the moment without destroying the whole evening.
Right.
They can pull back. Now they know where the line in the sand is, hopefully.
Right. Yeah. And I'd say definitely negotiating consent and understanding, like, the whole world of consent is learned. Like, for me, on one end, I didn't realize right away that, like, some people don't even like a hug. Like, I'm a big hugger.
Right? Right?
And but that's a personal choice. And it's, in a lot of circles, thought of as rude to just go up and hug and not ask. I'm like, okay, well, that's a learned behavior. I can ask before I hug.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I think as women, we feel like we get a little bit
We get a lot of layers.
They get a pass. They definitely get a pass.
Definitely. Please touch me. Please. Right. Give me a hug. I love it.
But also, that can change. Mm-hmm. It changed with a lot of our friends post-COVID.
Yes.
Yes.
Some, you know, at first they were okay with it. We used to hug and kiss all the time. And then post-COVID, they were a little bit more standoffish. And you have to understand, don't take that personally. Because they're just trying to protect their health and their well-being. And that's what they're comfortable with at this time.
And the lifestyle spans so differently from people who have sex without knowing names to people who only sleep with their best friends. And it takes a while to make a best friend. So we had an example of a guy that I knew who was a great guy. Personally, we had a great time. But every time we invited him to our house and things started getting sexy, he was overstepping consent.
God damn it.
Yeah.
And so, one, a lot of the times the women would come to me after the fact and tell me that he was breaking consent. And I said, did you tell him?
Right.
And they said, no, he should have not done that. And then I talked to him and I said, okay, so this is a concern. This is something that people are bringing up. And he's like, well, I keep going to these parties where we just show up and fuck. We take our clothes off and we fuck and that's what happens. And I'm like, okay, so that's not my parties, right?
Yeah.
Just so you know. I mean, that's why everybody was wearing clothes for like 3 hours before it happened, right? We were hanging out, we're drinking, we're dancing to music, we're having a great time. And there's places for people to disappear to have sex when they want to. It's not a place where people just have sex. And he's like,
yeah, so definitely different circles even within the lifestyle. It's not all yogurt. It's not all homogenous. Right? Like, there's different kind of rules and expectations of behavior. I'd say we've learned a lot along the way.
Mm-hmm. Your friend should have known, though, you know, like you sort of feel those parties out.
You should, because you know,
if we're coming to fuck at this party, like people are really like they get naked pretty quick. Yeah. You know, but if you still got like, your clothes on after like 1 hour, okay, 2 hours, also, 3 hours, you're like, okay, wait a second.
Also, we got to consider people that are on the spectrum who can't learn how to adapt to different societal norms.
Oh, yes.
I mean, we got a bunch of friends that might be Asperger's and we don't know because they don't have any outward signs. They don't have any kind of weird tics. They just don't know how to adapt to different things as easily as most people. And I like to consider that with everything. When somebody makes a mistake, I'm like, hey, let's sit down. No judgment. You made a mistake. And I don't want to say it was your mistake. You didn't make that mistake on purpose.
Yeah.
Let me give you a chance to know that this was a mistake and maybe we should change a few things and let's see if we can adapt and how fast you learn. I hope you learn pretty quick. Okay, you made a second mistake. Okay.
Like, so here's the other thing that should be clarified though. Those girls should have said something immediately.
Absolutely.
Every single time.
Yes.
Don't hesitate. If that thought pops in your head, I'm not okay with this, it needs to be expressed immediately.
Absolutely.
I'd say that's also like a thing that's learned, right? Like I've Very learned true. And grown into being 100%. More forward about my yeses and noes.
Right.
You don't know how hard that struggle was.
It is.
Me.
And
was it hard for you too?
Yeah. So one of the really cool things, a friend of ours puts on these parties, used to put on these parties, that were like dancing, like however you want, dance naked, this and that, just really cool, like connection type of things. Mm-hmm. And she did an exercise before the party on consent, and it was so cool. It was like, let's just practice.
Being able to say no and not feel judged for it.
Oh,
let's practice saying no.
That is awesome.
I've talked about especially in the first season.
Yeah.
When we very first started going to the ranch, I hate to hurt somebody's feelings.
And that's one of the problems we come across all the time.
And so, and it would always happen where Kenji would go to the bathroom and leave me alone. Mm. And it was like
vultures.
Vultures that came swooping in. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, having to say no. And especially like back to back to back. And then I look like a bitch. Like, oh, what is she here for if she's not going to fuck any of us?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, no, I just, you know, it's not that I'll never fuck you or I'm just not interested in it.
Yes.
Now.
Yes. And that's the levels of no are important. Again, right. With being able to say no mm-hmm. while you're having sex because they crossed a boundary for you.
Right.
You can't let that first no be a personal assault. It might right. be just not now. It might be today I am, like in a BDSM relationship, today I'm somebody's property and mm-hmm. I can't. Mm-hmm. And right. so on and so forth. So you need to allow them to have that moment without, and this is another problem, without giving up. But then the creeps keep coming, and then right. you don't know how to stop
Where's
them.
That boundary?
Eventually, you mm-hmm. have to be like, I'm sorry, it's never going to happen.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that gets so much easier. Now I don't even think about it. Now somebody will ask me, and sometimes I'm a little too forward because I said no so quick. I'm like, oh, damn it. I should have, like, hesitated a little.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I should have been like, nope.
Yeah. Yep.
And he laughs about it now because I was so terrified.
You know? Yeah.
Like
yeah.
They would come up and I'd be like, you know, I'm just a little busy, right? Like, just say no. Just say no.
It's okay. Everybody else does. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. But they're like from a woman's perspective, because we are usually the ones having to say the yes or no, mm-hmm. as mm-hmm. there is a learned art to giving that no and being clear about what that no means.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yes. Yeah.
And
oh,
I'm
yes.
like, it comes down to the same thing we always talk about, communication. But it really
even
is.
To this day, we've had girls that we talked to that were like, oh yeah, so he took his clothes off, so we had to fuck. I'm like, what? Did you want to fuck? And they're like,
is
no,
that the signal?
I mean, I wasn't really into him. I didn't really like him. But, you know, he had his clothes off at this point, and I felt bad for having to say no. And I'm like, oh.
You can always say no. I don't care yeah. if his cock is in your mouth. You right. can remove it and then say no.
Mm-hmm. I'm not feeling this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. Totally. Yeah.
So how did you guys get into the lifestyle?
Well, we were saying, it was very immediate.
Very
when
immediate.
We
yeah.
got married. So I was Canadian. She was American. When we got married, she got the call from she got the call to say, we're sending you back to the United States. The economy is picking back up. We don't need you back there in Canada anymore.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to bring you over to and send you to Chicago, which is where she ended up having to work. And she's like, well, you're going to need to let me spend at least another week here because my wedding day is this day and I'm
oh, wow.
going to be here
wow.
for that.
It was a slightly longer timeline than that, but it felt that rush. Like, hey, I'm about to get married. Can this next yeah. project wait a little?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
So she was working in Chicago while I was packing up the house and getting ready to go because I had my whole life and my car and everything that I needed to bring to the United mm-hmm. States to stay with my wife. And while she was down here, there, one of her girlfriends called her up. Do you want to tell this part?
Yeah, so a mutual friend at the time, I guess from our perspective, she was one of these more like out there people mm-hmm. into Reiki and like would take friends to a swingers club every once in a while. There was one swingers club in Calgary.
Okay.
And so we knew that like this was like a thing that people did. And she sent me a text and she's like, hey, I'm doing one of these like go to the swingers club parties. Do you mind if I invite Chris?
I love it.
Mm-hmm. I know that he's at home alone right
it.
Now.
This is the way you go. You're always going to get a yes if you go through the wife.
Well, I don't want to derail the story too much, but we've got opinions on like asking permission
oh.
and the
okay.
whole like.
Yeah.
What
guys are not the gatekeepers.
Nope.
That whole thing.
Again, girls rule mm-hmm. lifestyle.
Well, so a lot of the times we're red herring, but a lot of the times guys come up to me and immediately ask, can I ask your wife out? And I'm like, I don't know. You gotta ask her.
Right.
But that is the norm, is because we got a lot of guys out there that will get upset that you didn't ask them for permission. Because that's not macho.
Right. Mm-hmm. But she's obviously been around the block because she's been this place before. So she understood how it worked.
Okay, story back online. So she sends me a text. She's like, hey, you mind if I take Chris to this club? Thought about it. Gave him a call. We had a little chat. At the time, like, you know, soft start. We're like, okay, you know, basically soft swap would be fine. We didn't know all those terms yet, but that's what we agreed on.
She was like, no penetration. And he can go sit and watch. He can touch. He can kiss and hug. That's all great.
Okay.
Just no penetration. Of course, her girlfriend thought she was testing her, sat me in a corner, and didn't let me do anything the whole night that I was there. But that's another question.
Yeah, so we had our conversation. We set up, like, what boundaries we're comfortable with. I sent her back a text like, hey, here's what we're comfortable with. And, yeah, go have fun. And, like, none of my friends believed that that was really what we had agreed on.
Wow, that's so...
Let's be real.
Wow.
Most couples couldn't handle that in just one conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. It's true.
Most couples could... That's a conversation... I'm going to be real. Even for us, it's a conversation that we had for many weeks, for many months leading up to our first time going to the Mont Chalet, to the ranch. To any of those. And over time, it's still conversations that we have because our boundaries have changed. What we're okay with has changed. You know, the way that we play has changed. And so it's something that you're constantly having to...
Growing and evolving.
Yeah. Yeah. They probably thought you guys had one, like, 15-minute conversation and we're good.
So to be fair, really the conversation started when we first started dating. And the way I like to describe it is we started with establishing the values that our relationship is based on. And one of our big ones was we have no time and energy or place for jealousy.
Yeah.
That's just not an energy that we want in our lives to the extent we can avoid it. Like it might happen, but we'll address it then. And we just kind of set that up from the get-go. It's funny. I like to tell the story of Chris thought he was putting down an ultimatum. Yeah.
So I was jaded from previous relationships. And when we had it, we got our first date, our first coffee date. I was like, okay, listen up. I
Super
work at a college.
I
work with college girls every night of the week. We go out to bars, we party because I'm teaching them how to interact with people and make friends so they can build their circle of influence so they can get jobs. This is what I do. And every single girl before you has given me shit. And I've always come home to someone yelling at me because I've been out too late with a bunch of college girls. I am not going to do that. So, no jealousy. I'm not going to deal with it. She comes back with me and goes,
I'm like, I am so glad we're on the same page because I work in construction and sometimes I'll go out with the guys for a beer afterwards.
Right. It's a male dominated.
Yes.
Big, burly, muscle bound dudes.
And they're construction workers. So, you know, this is after they've been catcalling her all day.
Uh-huh.
To be fair, I wouldn't put up with that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I can tell that.
But yeah, it is a more like sort of the bravado and all that, the machismo.
Yeah.
Yes, that's there. And I'm going to go out for a beer with the guys after her. And we're going to be shooting the shit and telling dirty jokes and all that stuff, right?
And they might go late. They might be having a great time.
So it worked perfectly.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm like, I am so glad we're on the same page. Glad we had this chat.
So, even when we were monogamous, we had no problems with being out all night with the opposite sex and not having to worry about our relationship and not having to worry about somebody taking the other away from us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. So we had that baseline solid.
Uh-huh.
Which made the transition pretty easy.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So did you know, though, that possibility of it becoming more than just a conversation and that relationship getting physical, you wanted to have that door open?
No.
Or was it just strictly, I don't want you to be jealous of a communication type relationship?
Mm-hmm. For me, it was all about I was dedicated to my monogamous relationship. My mom had 5 husbands.
Mm.
And I was not going to get married that many times.
There you go.
I was going to get married once, and then she was going to be my woman forever.
And I wanted her to know that you can trust that when I say that I love you and I want to be with you, that is my words. And then as soon as it becomes a point where I don't love you, we'll have that conversation. But you should trust what I say. Now, I don't know if that's the same for you.
Now, for me, I don't know if I was even thinking of it really as like, that's even a thing I'm concerned about or thinking about. Mm-hmm. It, as weird as that may sound,
right.
I was more coming from, we had a later in life marriage than a lot of folks. So we kind of knew what we wanted. I'm like, I'm going to fall in love with someone and love the whole person. And I'm going to find that person first, a person that I can love the whole person for everything he is. Mm-hmm. So that was a lot of, again, the foundations that we talked about and the fundamentals that were like, we're going to accept each other for who we are and get through the rough times. One of the things that was like the selling point for me on Chris was he initiated conversations about, we're going to have to get through the rough times in life too. And I want to be ready for that. And I want to work through that with you. And just as like a little tidbit, I remember his brothers setting up the bachelor party. We're like, you know, they were setting it up, oh, what are we going to do and everything. And they were trying to be all like super careful that they didn't piss me off. And so I sat one of his brothers down and I'm like, look, have a fun time. I guess my only rule is I don't want to know what happened.
Okay.
So like no permanent
jail time,
injuries.
No kids, no like whatever.
Yeah. I'm like, but seriously, like, you guys are together. You don't often get to see each other. Like, just go have fun.
Right.
And so
that didn't work, by the way.
They of course,
thought she
again,
was testing
they didn't believe
them
us.
As well. No woman ever says that that's okay, whatever
oh
happens.
Oh, my God.
So we ended up going to a bar and sitting there and drinking all night while her and her girlfriends had a great time at a strip club with penis straws and
right,
anyway.
Yeah, because oh, yeah.
Bachelorette
party.
I was not
crazy.
I didn't get a bachelor party. They all thought she was testing me.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Right.
Well, there's always this weekend.
Well, relive your bachelor.
I mean,
we've been
in the lives that long enough. I've made up for that million times
right,
over.
Yeah.
So.
Now it's funny that you were thinking about going to pay to go see some titties when you can just go to the ranch and it's like they're everywhere for free.
Oh, so weird, right?
Right. Exactly.
So you, let's back up to two. Most of the time people come into the lifestyle because they notice I like sex and, you know, our libidos aren't on the same level.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm bisexual and he doesn't have a vagina. Mm-hmm. Or, you mm-hmm. know, things like that. So what would you say is the main reason for you wanting to explore this?
So originally, again,
before you launch into the story, I would counter with, do we have to have a reason?
No, I'm just curious as to why.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah. I think my fundamental is, why the hell not?
See, it's true.
But
see.
Go into the story.
That is actually her thing. Why she was so open right away. And she's like, why? I love him. I want him to be happy. And if this is going to make him happy, I can watch him be happy and be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I discover that I'm like, ooh, this is fun for me too.
Right. Exactly. But truly, when we first started talking about swinging, when that's how we started, was actually just that, was time. It's that she was working all the time, 12 hours in construction. And we would move around to follow projects every 3 years or so. So I couldn't really hold a pretty steady job. Luckily, I've been in finance for most of my life, so I could just transfer my knowledge as we moved around, but I had to get new licenses and I had to build relationships. And I was in Canada doing finance, and that's a little difference here in the United States. I've gotten my licenses since then and I know what I'm doing now, but you know, it's constantly evolving.
Mm-hmm.
I had to find ways to fill my time when she was constantly busy and moving around.
Okay.
And that led to hanging out with some of the people that I loved and girls who were hitting on me all the time and having a great time. And then we had already been open to the swinger lifestyle that it was like, so how much do you have to actually be here for me to have go all the way with the girls that I'm hanging out with?
And so then we had that conversation again, and she's like, well, actually, you know, I'm not really worried about it.
So now you guys play separately and together?
Yeah. And together. So, yeah, we're born swingers, so we still have that in our blood. We still enjoy going on vacation and having the vacation exception, and we still enjoy all of a sudden just meeting some people and swapping. You know, that's a lot of fun. There's adrenaline to that. There's a good time. I'm an ego person, so it boosts my ego to know that a girl wants to sleep with me the first time she meets me. Hell yeah, let's do this. But we're definitely leaning towards the line of, hey, do you want to do this again? Do we want to see each other more often? And not in a, it doesn't have to be a sexual way. Let's go walking through the park. Let's go see movies. Let's do all these other things and get to know each other as people and see what kind of chemistry comes up. And so that's one of the reasons why we moved into being open is I was saying we have this differencing of opinion. For me, multiple partners and poly allows you to take away expectation from other partners from filling bars that aren't being fulfilled.
Okay.
So someone who's not a touch person, I don't need them to touch me because now I can go over here to another partner who just loves to touch.
Let's be real. You need everybody to touch you.
It is my primary love language,
right?
And for her, I'll let you explain that.
So for me, it's much more just accepting each partner exactly for who they are. Mm-hmm. You know, loving Chris for a full Chris and loving my other partners for who they are. I guess for me, I feel like I would be perfectly okay on my own, right? I don't need anybody to do a thing for me.
So you check all your own boxes.
Yeah, I'm like,
as it should be. You should have an amazing relationship with yourself and be perfectly okay with being alone.
Yep. Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't date me because I already spend 24/7 with me. That's a lot. I can be a lot sometimes. but really with partners, I'm just like, I'm going to enjoy the time that I have with this person and the time that I have with this person and maybe together with one of them or all of them. Just embracing the joy of people at the end of the day.
Got it.
So do you guys have kids?
No.
Do you think that would change the dynamics of this whole thing?
Maybe. But
we'd have a lot less time. Getting a hotel,
whether we're hiding it from them or not.
Because right now you're all out, other than you said your family doesn't know, but pretty much
and,
everybody.
And most of her work. There's a few people at our office that knows, but most people at work don't.
Yeah.
We talk about how it's just like not everybody needs to know who you're having sex with.
Right.
Not everybody needs to know what our sexual preferences are. We're not going to lie if anybody asks.
Yeah. So I've found that within my circles, like family and work, a lot of it is like, and this has changed for me over time. For a while, I was like, oh, they can't know. Right? I'm not going to hide things. Like, I'm going to talk about going to see this person and that person, but I'm going to meet you at your own comfort level. Mm-hmm. And definitely, like, for my family, they're not super huge. I'm like, they don't want to know stuff like who you're having sex with and all that. That would not be an appropriate conversation. And they're like, hey, let's talk about you and what your dreams and goals are.
Right.
Whereas that's like, okay, that's stuff you're supposed to keep in the bedroom.
Yeah. We don't need to know what's happening behind closed doors. That's true.
And imagine at work. Because again,
same thing. Yeah.
You're dealing with a whole bunch of construction workers, and not to be cliche, but you would probably be having to, you know,
you'd have to fight them off with a stick.
Well, thank you. There's two sides of that, right? There is exactly that problem of, I guess it's the vanilla preconceived notion that just because I'm lifestyle, I'll fuck anyone.
Right.
And that can be problematic. You don't, like, I want to be known at work for my work because I'm damn good at it. I don't want to be known as that swinger girl.
Right.
God, the stigma.
Wow. Right.
It drives me crazy because even with my vanilla friends, before they knew that we were in the lifestyle, and almost instantly once they found out, a switch flipped in their brain and they thought that I'm going to fuck their husbands or their boyfriends, mm-hmm. or whoever, right. they're with. And it's like, no. Just mm-hmm. because we have sex with other people.
I haven't this whole time.
We have sex with every other person that yep. we know.
Mm-hmm. Or that we're not going to respect your boundaries within your right. relationship.
Or your relationship, yeah. yes.
It's just mm-hmm. like, just because that guy's bi doesn't mean he needs to fuck your husband.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, and the other side of it for me in a professional environment, as just as much as I wouldn't expect this interaction to happen. Like, hey, boss, how you doing? He's like, oh, yeah, I'm doing great. My wife gave me the best blowjob last night. Like, that conversation isn't going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just the same as I'm not going to tell people about the orgy I had last weekend.
Right.
Like, yeah. it's just like, we're at work. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's a little different with our friends. We come out to them right away. Since we moved to Colorado, we've made sure that people know, because I'm going to let them know, hey, if you want to hang out with us on a regular basis, you need to know that I might have another woman on my arm.
Or you mm-hmm. might see my nipple.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, something like that.
We tell people that we are a topless equality home.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you may see some boobies if right. you come over, and that's fine.
Right.
Just so you know, right up ahead of time, it's a topless equality.
Right.
And, I mean, especially, I've been working with Go Topless Denver.
Okay.
We've been trying to make sure that we get the news out there that it's, you know, legal for women to go topless, and we need to normalize it.
Yes.
One of the biggest problems is the parade is once a year, which makes it still like Christmas. It's still mm-hmm. a phenomenon that everybody can plan on being in Denver with their cameras to take pictures of 1,000 girls without their tops on.
Right.
And I'm like, we just need to make sure that it happens all the time.
All the time.
So mm-hmm. all our parties are topless friendly.
Wherever I am on Saturday night, you're going to see my nipple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Usually topless.
Right.
Now, so, one of my friends who's more brave than I am has a habit during the summer of, like, I'm playing sports in the park and it's uncomfortable for me to wear a shirt. I'm not going to wear a shirt. And I'm like, props to you.
Yeah.
That's right? Awesome.
She yeah. does usually bring pasties.
Let's go fess it with yeah. our cameras.
She usually brings pasties, though, because there's still places, like we go to Cherry Creek Park, and they've never had this conversation with their park people. And so we were having a lifestyle DJ'd event. We had a bunch of lifestyle DJs come in. We had a bunch of dancing on the beach. Great giant beach party. We had like a 250 people there. It was amazing.
Oh, nice.
And some of the girls started getting comfortable taking their tops off because this is a bunch of just lifestyle people that are okay with that. Well, some family down the beach was not okay with women taking their tops off. And even though there was no sexual activity going on or touching of any kind, they had the Rangers come down, and they're like,
heaven forbid women have their fucking tops off.
Right. Right. And they were like, so we were told you had your tops off. And we were like, yeah, that's legal, right? And they're like, yes, but we've never actually talked about that. And now we have people complaining about it, and we don't know what to do. And I'm like, well, because it's not illegal, maybe you shouldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, or tell them, hey, it's legal.
And they were like, so we're having a committee meeting tomorrow about this because we don't know what to do about it. Could you please put your shirts on right now so that we don't have to deal with it? And we were like, all right, we respect you, so we will put our shirts back on. But you do know this is legal in Colorado, and as long as we're not touching them or sucking them or doing anything sexual with them, you have no right to do this.
God, dude, it's
and they're
so
like,
I'm gonna
we'll
take this down a rabbit hole mm-hmm. because I actually I love what happened there. Is like there was Go Topless, and then there was personal friends of ours, and now we're being activists just because like we're exposed to this new knowledge and different ways of mm-hmm. thinking, and it's like we have a lifestyle community now, but we kind of don't. We're all little pods and segments doing our own mm-hmm. thing. And I love what you guys are doing, bringing people in, talking about it, talking about all the mm-hmm. cool things they're doing.
Thank you.
Yes.
No. It's so
love it. Bring it out to everybody to see what's happening.
Yes.
And I'd love to see that come together even more. Like, I think one of the biggest things that we have is this, every time somebody thinks of something cool, they have their own little kingdom and they're holding it really tight and they don't want to share. And
fucking
it's like
gatekeepers.
We could build something so much better and a stronger community and cool parties, if that's your thing, right, whatever, if we just come together and stop, like, holding it so tight and wanting to be in control.
Is, I feel like the kink community is like that.
Yeah.
The kink community is so tight-knit. And if I'm going to do this, I'm going to tell everybody about it, and we're all going to do it together, and I'm going to let you know, and you know. And it's amazing to me how the kink community, because it's almost a sect of the lifestyle. A lot of them overlap.
And I find a lot of kink people are actually monogamous people that like their kink and not open poly people that play outside of relationships.
Yeah,
their kink is their kink, and there's still monogamous people who enjoy those things.
Correct. Yeah. And that is the case. But I will say, as far as, you know, with them coming together as a community and a whole, they stick together like
we could learn a lot. Not to say I'm not kink. I'm sure a lot of that. But like
the things that impress me the most with them, though, is that and consent.
Yes.
You will never find a more broader. You know, they get down to every, like, are you okay with me touching your pinky?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, they make sure that it is crystal clear what's going to happen before, usually before they even meet in person.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So it's amazing to me. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think and that's why we do this. We want our community to reach out to us. We want to be holding events. We want to be supporting new clubs. We feel like there's enough room in this lifestyle.
I came to you guys saying that I had a podcast idea, and they were like, you should come and talk on our show because
try it out.
We could combine our efforts. I was like, that is not like – I was like, I don't want to step on your toes. You're doing this. I don't want to do something you're doing.
But that's not what it is. You know, we're all about love is love, and we're trying to help everybody out. Yeah. Like, there's enough to go around.
There's enough.
You know? There's plenty of room for everyone. Yeah.
And there is. There's such a growing awareness, a growing want for more services, more parties, more talk, more creation, more art that's around this whole concept. That's actually a really big concept of just being okay with being each other and being yourself.
Yes, and one of the biggest problems is capital.
Okay.
Because you need to find a bunch of individual lifestylers that are willing to shell out a little bit. Because not all of us are rich, and maybe we have great ideas. Maybe we want to open up another kind of sort of like a ranch, but closer to Boulder so that Fort Collins people don't have to drive 3 hours to go down to the ranch. Yeah. You know, like maybe we want to have more parties like the Watering Bowl, but at a different bar.
Right.
And that consists of throwing down a couple $1,000s to take the bar over, and then maybe you have to put ticket prices down, but not all of us have $2,000 to do that. So it's like we need to find lifestyle investors.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which is huge within the community because we already spend so much money. Like, the way I looked at it right now is with hotels alone. Like, why isn't there a swinger-based hotel here that I can rent for an hour or two?
That's what we wanted to start, is get a hotel. Yeah.
Because I spend so much money on a vanilla hotel right now that I don't need for the whole night. Mm-hmm. I maybe need for, like...
No, between the hours of, one in seven in the morning.
You could do that at Montchalet for now.
You know.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, there's plenty of room for stuff that all around. Mm. And it's already expensive for us.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, memberships to these places aren't cheap. The good thing is, though, is we usually save it in alcohol.
Yeah, can bring our own booze.
Right?
The one benefit of, there being a law that you can't mix sex and alcohol legally.
Yeah. You bring your own booze.
Bring your own. It's way cheaper.
One of the reasons, part of my argument for people buying gold memberships for the ranch is... You just take out one night at the bar from your every month, and you're paid for it.
Right.
Because we're paying $150 and booze, some of us, because we have high alcohol tolerances. So
drinks like a Canadian. What can I say?
We drink like fishes because it's the only way to stay warm. And our alcohol is stronger.
Well, you need to be to stay warm.
if you've talked to any Americans who live on the border, they always go to Canada to drink because even our beer is double the alcohol limit of American beer. So it's easier to get drunk in Canada. So most people around the border just pop across the border to drink.
Interesting.
Yeah. Good to know.
Mm-hmm. Learn something new every day. Yeah. I guess we're going to Canada to get
drunk. It was
drunk.
Like that when I was growing up. It might not be like that anymore. I've been in the United States for almost 7 years now. So
it's almost like another way to spot a swinger, though, because the second that he walked in, he had his bottle.
Yeah.
I brought my own booze.
Brought everything. Yeah.
Brought my own lube. Brought my own condom.
Yep. Brought everything. Bag
still
full
got
of toys.
A sticker on it.
Yes. You never know what's going to happen after the invite. Right.
Speaking of that, I'm hoping to start a company that provides like just a little baggie for ladies that's a preset, like a couple of condoms, a couple of lubes, a couple of wipes. So simple.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to start this. And again, like we were talking about capital, there's also a matter of finding the right people.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like who can manage something like that? Who can do the marketing?
Yeah.
Right. And we have so much resources within like the umbrella of lifestyle. And like part of the difficulty is just bringing people together to do all the cool things because there's so many cool ideas out there.
Because everybody's little groups everywhere, you know?
Exactly. Yep.
Well, we can't thank you guys for coming on the show enough.
I know.
This has been
awesome.
Appreciate
it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for sharing your story with us.
Told you it would be cake, right?
Yes.
Easy peasy. Conversation.
You guys could do it every day, right?
Sure.
I'm an extrovert. I talk to people all the time. I also work in sales, and I taught people how to talk to people. So I talk. And listen.
All right, Ishas, you know where to catch us. Go online, go to monogamishpodcast.com, check out our website, make sure you join our Ish group, and be part of our Ish Tank so you can find out all the new exciting things that are happening in the Fullwoods life.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
And again, if you want to be on the show, reach out to us. Hit us up, contact Drew at monogamishpodcast.com, and we'll get you on the show.
Mm-hmm.
See you guys later. Bye.